podcast.
Welcome to Weedo's Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
And I'm Beth Newell.
In the woods!
I'm in the woods. I'm outside of Richmond, Virginia. I'm down here for a book release party tomorrow night. Babes.
It's tonight. If they're listening to this, it's tonight, baby.
By the time you're listening to this, it's tonight.
Or yesterday, depending on when you listen.
Babes of Carytown, Richmond, Virginia. I'm here with Jackie, my co-author. Uh-oh, we've got some kids waking up.
Oh my gosh. This is gonna be extra. Keep explaining yourself.
Tell me if I should be quiet. We've disturbed a second household with our loud podcasting.
So where are you right now? I don't even know.
I am at Jackie's house outside of Richmond. And she's putting her daughter back to bed, who just overheard us recording a podcast. And
she was asleep, and she's like, why are people projecting so clearly? I must get out of bed and investigate.
Is someone promoting a book event? That's what she was thinking.
I'm interested.
So we FaceTime you earlier with the kids.
And that was fun. Boy, I gotta say... So Jackie has two kids very similar ages to our two kids, and have they talked before? They hit it off.
They have talked before, but not in a while. So they were really connecting, and Brynn said to Rocket, he was like, how old are you? Like, he clearly was like, this is a cool person, and I need to know how I measure up in years.
He's like, are you my peer? I think you're somebody I can connect with on an intellectual level.
And then she showed him that she lost her two bottom teeth, and then he lied and said that he lost a tooth in the back of his mouth.
Conveniently, the place where you can't easily show someone over FaceTime. Exactly. I've lost one way in the back. He's a big liar. So I'm home alone, solo parenting. It's going great so far. I say I took them out to dinner. And I was in a good mood, so I was just practicing full deflection. Anytime they got cranky or said no to something, I just decided, no matter what, I'm not gonna be a rigid wall. I'm just gonna get out of the way and redirect and stay positive.
Did you say I'm not gonna be a rigid mom?
No, that would be very offensive if I said that. What? I think I said wall. Like, when they do something, you want them to stop, and you immediately they're like, no, that's sort of like, you're not getting by me at all. I picture it like when I'm doing my best parenting.
You're trying to be soft.
Not soft, but just.
You're trying to be soft.
I'm trying to redirect. I'm trying to get out of the way of the conflict. Like, just like let it get past me. And then when it's less threatened, point it towards a productive direction. And it was super successful. Okay, so can we talk about the best thing in the world that happened today?
Finally, some relief on the housing front.
We're in contract, baby.
Yeah.
Did you feel it? Like, I got that text that it happened, and I just felt the weight of the universe lift off of me.
Yeah, well, I was telling Jackie today, I feel like the energy is shifting around us.
Yeah, that's an understatement. I'm offended at how underwhelming a description that is of how I feel. I feel invincible. And now we can do everything else. Now we can move on with our lives. Now we can talk about it. Now we can plan.
We can plan our lives, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's why that put me in the mood where I'm like, I'm going to try positive parenting tonight. You know what? If they get mad, fine. I'm just going to redirect.
I wasn't any sort of special parent tonight. I was just in a good mood, which makes it a lot easier to deal with
did it work?
Bratty children. Yeah, because I was like, I'm not taking things personally. I don't care. I'm fine. I have a house now, so you kids can't hurt my feelings.
Yeah, you're a homeowner. Invincible.
Yeah, dude. I'm a homeowner. You know, I have no problems. And I'll be super stressed in 2 days as, like, the reality of what's next comes into play.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to be free from your kids and your husband and with your with a best friend and no responsibilities?
It feels good. I wouldn't say there's no responsibilities. But, I mean, I went from hanging out with my kids to hanging out with someone else's kids. So it's fun.
It was a pretty similar trade in terms
Yeah, it's like actually less annoying when someone else's kids are jumping on you because you're like, you don't take it personally. You're not like,
you're like,
this person jumps on me every day of my life.
It's and also I'm sick like, of it. I'm not responsible for stopping this. I don't need to teach them anything.
Right. Go for it. Kill me.
You know what? Jump on me. Go ahead.
Jackie's daughter, Rocket, said something to me where she said something about me being a mom now. Or she was like, this is what it's like to be our mom. You never get a break. It was like very on point. I was like, oh, I know.
Tell me about it, Rocket.
But on that note, I think we should introduce our guest.
All right, great.
I don't want to keep talking about her while she's here.
I mean, for the record, we've heard her giggling in the background for at least 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to introduce her.
I also quietly choked and then ran away.
Yeah, she had a whole choking thing. If you didn't catch it, go back. It's the Easter egg in the episode.
Yeah, you can find it.
Yeah, so we have here Jackie Ann Ruiz, my co-author in There's No Manual, and also illustrator of everything in the book.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, BT Dubs, those illustrations are incredible. I love it.
Thank you so much.
I always look at all the pictures first before I read a word.
Well, that makes me feel superior to your wife, and that's basically my goal in doing this whole thing. So thank you very much for that.
And all the illustrations are a lot of like vaginas and boobs, which I think, and anyone like passing by the book who picks it up, I think is going to be a little taken in by that.
Yeah, I think they are compelling. I think we have some
compelling. We have dedicated a shocking amount of time to talking about the vagina illustrations in your book between last week and this week.
Did we?
I guess.
Oh yeah.
This week, Beth found out that I've been drawing vaginas with spider webs coming out of them since I was a teenager, and what seemed really offended that I didn't disclose that earlier.
Well, I was shocked to find out because last Christmas I sent Jackie a needlepoint I did of a human spider woman with a spider web coming out of her vagina. And
yes, I remember that.
On her wall, and she never told me that she as a child would draw spider women.
I just assumed that it was like ancestral knowledge that you already had about me. If you were to make me an embroidery like that apropos of nothing, I just assumed.
Yeah, there's no part of you that was like, oh, weird, I relate to this, let me share it. You're just like, oh yes, of course.
She was like, cool, this needs not be commented on. And like,
when check out my portfolio.
She was like, she never acknowledged that, like, oh, this speaks to me on a soul level.
Yes,
down
I
to my
did.
So how old are you when you started drawing cobwebs and vaginas?
I think I was about 16. It was always the same pose of like a woman laying down and all you could see was like her belly and her boobs and then like her spread out legs and then a spider web emerging from inside of her vagina. It was like, that was my phone doodle for some reason.
Was there... Because I could see that
into my psyche.
The I could see the tone of a drawing like that going a lot of different directions. I could see it as a like horror.
Can you listen?
I could see it as sad. I could see it as empowering. How would you describe the tone of these illustrations?
I think they were expository, mostly. They were sort of like a medical medical exploration.
I feel like that in my mind, I'm picturing a Shel Silverstein like quality.
That was, it was a very simple
That's
line.
Exactly what I was picturing.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy that you said that. I want to be Shelley Silverstein. And it involves a lot of vaginas.
Shelley Silverstein.
I feel like I could be Shelley.
Yeah, no, you could.
I love this made me think of something your daughter told me tonight on FaceTime. I love her passion for snakes.
Yes.
And she was like, I love snakes. And then the first thing she told me, I don't remember exactly what she said, but she was fascinated with like the insides of snakes, the like skull, like the spine of snakes.
Oh, she wants to be a veterinarian for snakes only. And she said, I want to see what they look like inside.
Yeah, she said, I want to be, that's her, like when people ask her what she wants to be, she says, I want to be a reptile veterinarian because I want to know what the inside of a snake looks like.
It's a very like psychopath-esque fascination. Yeah.
But
I
want to
keep
the
snakes healthy.
She does have like a weird connection with snakes. And we went into a pet store and there was like a few pythons up on this top tank. And I had to lift her up to look into the tank. And the snake just lifted up its head.
Like Harry
and
went Potter.
Like just like in Harry Potter and was staring right
She's
at her.
She's a Slytherin, huh?
She is totally in Slytherin. She's a Slytherin with Gryffindor rising.
Huh.
And do you want to talk about astrology now?
Well, I just want to say, making astrology into a Harry Potter analogy is the first time I've been mildly interested in it.
I stole that from my friend Gina. I just want to admit that. That's what she says.
Good job, Gina.
She says she's a Slytherin with Hufflepuff rising. And I think it's really good.
Yeah.
Hmm. I think I might be a Gryffindor with a Hufflepuff rising.
I think you might be a Hufflepuff with a Gryffindor rising.
Ooh,
wow, she just read you.
Well, as I was saying that, in my mind, the first thing I thought is Beth would say the opposite of what I'm saying.
And now you're talking to two Beths.
Yeah, I really am. I'm really... Talking to the two of you is... great. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. And it's also the worst thing in the world because
you ready to
I'm
get
hopelessly
made fun
outnumbered. I mean, when I'm just alone with Beth, listeners know I'm hopelessly outnumbered.
Yeah. That's
I don't know
why,
what we're
that's
counting.
Why I take up so much air in the episode.
Yeah.
You take up more presence than I do, even though I use 10 times more words.
Literally, you cut every segment with you making a really funny joke and then cut it real quick.
Uh-oh, somebody noticed. Yeah, well, Beth's not the one that's going to give a ham-fisted button so that we can move on to the next thing.
No, I've been trying to move on for the last, like, 5 minutes, and you're not picking up on the...
We got to sell it. I don't understand that you're done unless you mug to the audience.
Clear your cash.
Yeah, you should just be ending it with one of our catchphrases like clear your cash. Anyway, clear your cash.
Oh, boy. Boy, this is going very well. So can you tell us, I'm sad I won't be able to be at this at this event tomorrow night, what can folks expect? You see how I'm redirecting it away from me being the target?
The two of us will be, there'll be books available. There'll also just be an event available at a lesbian bar.
There'll be an event available. Is it the same event that is your event? Or is there another event available?
I started to stress out about like what we needed to do to plan and like prepare for our party and like asked the guy at Chop Suey Books, who organized it for us, Ward, what I should do, like what my jobs were. And he was like, you don't have to do anything. And then Beth was like, I feel like at a lesbian bar, the less we do, the cooler it will be.
Well, I also think, like, when you do events in other states, no matter how much communication you have with the people involved, sometimes you're like, you just don't know until you get there if there's a microphone or a stage or even a room available. Like, so yeah. I sometimes think, you know, you want to have a loose plan.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen, but you should definitely come.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
And we're getting tattoos of tit snakes on our arms right before we go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
You'll see when I get home.
Did I just fuck that up?
Did you say tit snakes?
Yeah. I mean, if you want a clue, you'll have to leaf through the pages of There's No Manual. Honest and gory wisdom about having a baby.
Oh, yes, I do know the tit snakes. But when you said tit snakes, I pictured first a snake with just a big set of boobs. And then secondly, I thought of a chest that had two snakes coming out of it.
Wait, I have to replacing you. Boobs. They're, I have to tell you an unrelated story. Tonight, Rocket... Jackie's daughter, Rocket, tonight said... She said, Beth, I like your voice. And then she was like, you're always, like, cool. And she goes, it's like you're tired. And it was the biggest read I've ever experienced in my life.
And she stayed on her, like... For 10 minutes, anytime Beth said anything, she was like, there, you're doing it again.
Boy, now you know what it's like to be married to you.
She's smart. She's good.
I want to see her and Bryn hang out.
Oh, yeah. Because
I can tell right now, like, she can hang. And she's like
the one person I think who could just destroy him.
Yeah, she's a dom. For sure.
He's gonna he'll argue any point and she'll subvert it and make him instantly realize that
I think
it's ridiculous.
He would fall in line pretty quickly. I think he would have to.
Yeah, he could tell right away. Like when he was like, how old are you? He could already tell. Like,
yeah, oh. He was like, she's lost two teeth.
You're my intellectual
he's like, superior. I can work with this. I'll just say I've lost teeth.
They're in the back. You can't see them. That's all.
Anyway, should we talk about the book?
Yeah. You know what? You know what, though? Let's take a little break. Okay. And let's hear a delightful ad, and then we'll come back. You know what? I'm not going to button this segment. You are.
All right.
And now it's time for everyone's favorite segment. Did you know that my wife and Jackie wrote a book still and were excited about it and it came out today? It's everyone's favorite segment. Guys, it literally is coming out today, which is very exciting. And I have a copy of the book in my hand. So I thought I'd play a game called Flip to a Random Page and Ask You About It.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds delightful.
We're ready. All right.
Ooh, I flipped to a good page. Pregnancy sex.
Ooh, pregnancy sex.
That's an illustration of my vibrator that you're looking at right now.
Does your vibrator have little googly eyes? No, and it really looks like it's shouting with its little arms?
We had a lot of good back and forth where I would assign Jackie illustrations. I would say, hey, could you do a little vibrator person? Because it would be great if you just had like a little illustration right there.
And then when we handed in the manuscript and there was like 190 illustrations and they were like, your contract said 35. Why did you do this?
It was all Beth made me do it. I like the little vibrator. Looks like it's going, hey, hi. It's shouting to the heavens.
It is.
This is fun where I'm just going to describe illustrations to people. There's two segment chapter headings in pregnancy sex. Clitoral pleasure is your friend, and the other one is orgasms are different. I'm just going to say right now, I'm intrigued by orgasms are different. Will you explain?
Well, I think, you know, one thing we talk about in the book is that when your pregnancy hormones fuck up your whole body, it's kind of unpredictable how anything's going to affect any one person. So one person might be like vomiting all day and another person might not have that much.
They might be orgasming all day.
So you have like increased hormones, increased blood flow. And for some people, those kind of things can equal too much sensitivity or a newfound sensitivity that they wished they'd had or a newfound desire that they wished they'd had before pregnancy. So it's like it can go all different kinds of ways. And then when you have a person, you know, weighing down your whole uterus, your orgasms can start to feel different. Towards the end.
Yeah, they can be painful or trigger contractions, or they can be just shittier than regular orgasms, where they kind of feel like a hiccup and you feel cheated at the end of it.
Yeah.
Interesting. That sounded sarcastic, but it genuinely was. All right, you guys ready for another random segment?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Should I have a home birth? This is a flow chart.
Yeah. So Jackie drew a really cool flowchart of whether you should have a home birth or not. And I mean, you have it in front of you.
It starts with, would you prefer a midwife or a doctor?
Yeah.
A midwife, if a midwife is appealing to you, then it says, noise! Is your pregnancy low risk? No. Okay, this is great. But so let's segment to this, Beth. Jackie, Did you have a home birth?
Jackie had successful home births.
I had two home births. I had one home birth in Brooklyn on the fifth floor of an apartment building in Flatbush. And then when I moved to Richmond, I had a home birth in a regular house where I wasn't afraid the pool was going to break through the floor and in my old tenement. So I really run the gamut of home births.
Boy, you saying that just now, because we were planning a home birth for Bryn that didn't pan out, and we ended up at the hospital, at the birthing center. But that was, for some reason, a thing I couldn't get out of my head, is the idea that this tub would burst and just a full tub of water would leak down into our neighbors, and we had just moved here.
Everything
and that would be
in New
their
York
introduction
makes
to us.
You fucking terrified all the time. Are you allowed to curse on?
Yeah.
You just live in a state of like elevated fear when you live in New York. So the idea of a giant body of water being suspended inside of your living room is really stressful.
That's why we got out of town.
I 2 weeks after I gave birth in Brooklyn, I was in the elevator holding my newborn baby. And this couple was like, oh, she's so cute. And I was like, thanks. I had her in the building. And they were like, oh, that was you? We thought somebody was getting murdered. And they didn't do anything.
Yeah. Just like,
because they saw
well, they're like, it sounds like murder, but it's but not quite right. So we won't call the police.
As long as they clean up after themselves.
That is something I was also really stressing out about. You know, I probably should have been more worried about my wife and her well-being, but I was like, should I tell the neighbors that this is going to happen in case they hear something?
Yeah.
I don't want to stress anyone out.
They just don't, people don't know if you're laboring before you go to the hospital or if you're actually pushing a baby out. Like, how will they know the difference?
Right.
All right, I flipped to another random page. Are you ready for this?
Do we seem angry?
No, never. This page has a... I'm drawn to the illustrations. No pun intended. Here's a circle where it hurts illustration.
a postpartum activity sheet plus safe space to complain. And it's a lovely drawing of a naked woman in sort of a arms and legs splayed type of anatomical diagram.
It's kind of the same position where the spider webs would come out of the vagina.
I really see it now. And then there's a lot of labels and arrows. Like, for example, there's an arrow pointed to the crotch that just says, destroyed? Question mark. Fired. And then the boobs have flames coming off of them. Mm-hmm. And there's a label that says hashtag fire tits, but fires with a Y. Exclamation
like
point.
Like fire fest, because we're millennials.
Yeah. Boy. Do you feel like this book came out too late to really hit the full potential of a Firefest joke?
Yeah, well, we didn't. If we had had a heads up that Firefest was going to happen ahead of time, then we would have timed the release of the book for that joke to hit perfectly.
I mean, this is the segment where I critique the book. Other labels, brain seems gone up here. Skin of a corpse, pointing to the face, teen level acne, new third eye, never stops crying. Oh boy, that's deep.
I added that one in the final edit.
That's like, good.
Things got considerably darker in my personal life.
That's one where like I laugh. I'm like, oh, that's funny. And then there's layers. There's layers to that joke.
Yeah.
And, I get it.
Sometimes you're writing a book for 3 years while your children tug at your sleeves the whole time.
And then you get a divorce.
Good times.
Every time you guys say something really heavy, I'm about to make a big shift into a new topic, and it's just because I'm reading this. Never mind. Sausage fingers?
Are you going to edit this?
Nope, nothing. I don't have time. Creaky and painful joints, hair is falling out in clumps, walking hurts, ankles are gone forever, question mark, with a little rest in peace tombstone. This might be my favorite page so far. Why, I don't know why.
It's really satisfying to hear other people laugh at your jokes.
It's kind of weird to hear it. Illustrations narrated, though, as if this is like a listening service.
It does
for,
feel
like deaf people. You're like, and
accessibility training.
Yeah, you're like,
oh my god, in another life, that's my perfect job.
Smiling, and
she doesn't look happy, but she doesn't look sad either. It's like she's doing her job, and it's fine. This woman.
That's actually the description of the book that's on Amazon.
oh God, I found the best one on this. There's a word bubble pointing to the stomach says, loose stomach skin resembles map of Middle Earth.
That was,
you got
that
me with the nerd joke.
It was specifically for you. We put that in. Yeah.
Oh!
That's your joke.
I am 8 feet away from the complete atlas of Middle Earth book.
Mm. Now do you care about women's bodies?
Yes. This is what I've been saying all along. Just make it accessible for me.
That'll be our next book. It's like a journey to the center.
The manual for being a affluent white male father.
All written in Elvish. Every word.
All right, great.
Be
I'm going
nice
to move on to another
to
page.
Women.
That's the whole book?
Yeah.
That's just be nice to women in Elvish. Spelled out across 100 pages. And it's a puzzle. You have to translate it.
Men are simple beasts.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with that. This segment is called The Weirdness of Labor.
Yeah. We were trying to get at how weird it is.
Why is it weird?
I think...
How is it weird? When is it weird? Why is it weird?
Part of what we're trying to get at with this book is to try to put words to experiences that no one had ever told us about in our lives. Like, you kind of, like, are, like, no matter how much information you're given, it's not, like, no one really describes it in the visceral, like, way that you can wrap your head around.
Yeah, like, I wish someone had told me that when you give birth, there is a very specific smell.
Yeah, which we describe as like an enormous hot, like popped blister.
It's not bad. It's not good. But it's just like you're sure of exactly what it is.
Yeah. And like being pregnant really puts you in touch with your body in a lot of interesting ways.
Boy, the smell of birth really is... There's nothing like it.
Also, no.
There's an emotional connection to it. At least, I mean, obviously, I'm speaking as a dad.
No one really talks about, like, after you push the baby out and you're, like, meeting your baby, like, your body is shaking uncontrollably for no, like, reason. And then you're
there's a reason.
Well, but, like, no one's told you the reason. So you're like, I having a stroke?
Right.
Is something bad happening? Are these drugs hurting my body? Like, and everyone's like, oh, no, that's just a thing that your hormones do that happens, like, almost every time. You're just shaking a lot, but no one told you that. Like.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first thing I've said about the book over and over, is that it is a visceral experience, unlike anything everything else I read is clinical. And this makes me feel like I'm getting a taste of actually feeling the experience.
Yeah, that's why we want all men in America to buy this book.
Yeah.
And read it.
I mean, honestly.
And buy it for their sons and their grandsons.
Buy this for your teenage boys.
Buy
your grandfathers.
For the bathroom.
I've been reading it to Bryn a chapter a night.
Good.
That's not true. I haven't. We read a 4-page pamphlet on groundhogs that he brought home from school tonight.
Yeah. If Bryn read this book, then he would start doing like stand up monologues about being married to a heterosexual man. He'd be like, these men.
Boy, it's not too long before Bryn starts giving long lectures on feminism to anyone who will listen.
Oh, God.
Are you ready for that, Beth?
Yeah.
That's convincing.
Grip it.
Here's a page
on.
I just
bring it
flipped
on.
To. Ready?
What?
I just flipped to a new page. Does my baby have colic? Or is he just an asshole? It's a good question. How do you answer that question?
Well, the answer is right there in front of you. I don't have it in front of me, but it's colic is crying for more than three hours
for a certain number of days. Like, there's a clinical diagnosis for it.
Yeah, there's.
But also, even if your baby doesn't have colic, babies are very annoying and cry a lot, and it can feel like your baby has colic, and you can still get just as tired as someone whose baby does.
Right. And with things like colic and teething, there's just always this mystery where you never really actually know if that's what's wrong with your baby or if they're sick or having a developmental leap or whatever. All you know is that you have to survive a weird week of an angry baby.
And no sleep.
Yeah, no sleep and just no answers for what is happening.
That is the most, in my own experience being a parent, there's the most insane feeling of there's nothing I can do. I've done everything I thought I knew how to do to soothe the baby, to calm it down. And nothing is working, and this is the closest to true madness I've ever felt.
Yeah, it's a literal torture technique to not let people sleep.
They're just dumb, and they don't know how to live well yet, and it's our job.
They are pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they continue to be very stupid.
Yeah, I mean,
they
want to stay up when they're too tired. That is...
Idiots?
Go to bed. It's good for
go
you.
Go to bed. It feels so nice. The pillows are great.
Yeah. Eat your food. You're hungry. You're just saying no so that you can be right.
Yeah.
That's what Bryn's doing now. He's like, I'm not hungry. Like, you just told me about how you ate both of your snacks first thing in the morning before school started, and then you were hungry the rest of the day. Eat these eggs. I fall into that trap. Like, they seem so smart because they can mimic adult behavior, and then I find myself just falling into that trap of negotiating with Maven, and then I get angry and frustrated that she's not being logical, and then I'm like, what am I doing? She's 3 years old.
Yeah, three has been very tough. That, yeah. Like, there's just no... I feel like I'm just waiting for Otis to have, like, a little bit more common sense. And there's nothing I can do until that happens. And so we're going to... Like, he's going to scream at me in the hallway because he wants to wear his sandals and it's freezing and raining outside. And he's going to be very upset because he doesn't get it because he's still young and dumb. And it's my job to force it without being a mean mom. That's a hard job.
Yeah, I just had to remind myself recently, Maven's had some really bad freakouts. And I was like, oh yeah, Bryn had a really, really terrible period. And it was at the exact same age. Like 3.5.
Yeah, but they've both had really terrible periods at every age.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like everyone says this about two, and I say this about one, and they say, like,
it's all hard. Two. Like, we're creating imaginary milestones in a slog.
And then you instantly forget. And I love that you guys have talked about that. Like, don't ask anyone about advice about having a baby who hasn't had a newborn baby within the last year, because you forget.
Yeah,
you readjust to your new reality so quick.
That's what's supposed to happen. So we'll have another baby, because if you remembered just how tired you were and how much it hurt,
it's you'd be like evolutionary amnesia.
Yeah,
it's like all right. I flip to another page.
Like a soft Instagram filter.
Weird second trimester pregnancy symptoms. So each of the trimesters, you have the section, I believe, where you talk about weird symptoms.
I mean, the symptoms are
I like this one. Can I just read one that popped out to me? You've got the hiccups in your butt? Can you explain that?
When your baby's inside you, you can feel their hiccups in various parts of your body. So sometimes it's like in your chest or your butt or your vagina. It's weird.
That actually makes more sense than I didn't really think about it. I just thought it was a really funny sentence.
I just saw the word butt and I said, let's read this one.
But
you were like, here you wrote the word butt. Can you elaborate?
Can you talk about butts? I mean, I'm not going to lie. I just flip through pages and I see something funny or sexual or naked or naughty. And I'm like, tell me about that.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a picture of a man holding a woman in labor, and they're in a witch's cauldron.
This is
a midwife with a witch's hat on.
This is my favorite drawing in the book, and I fought really hard to get this in the book, and I kept being like, there's room right here. Will you please just put this back in, because I love this drawing, and they finally did.
It's a winner.
It's great.
I'm not going to even explain what it means or why it's in it. You'll have to buy the book to find out.
You got it.
Friends, before we end this segment, is there anything you'd like to tell us about the book before we're done?
Just please, if you know any pregnant ladies, get them this book. We're proud of it. In spite of how hard it is to ever acknowledge that as women, this is the book we wish we had had. We wish someone had handed us and told us, hey, these weird things are going to happen to you, or some of them are, and you might want to know about it going in.
Well, I'm proud of you both, and I've already learned things having read this, and I wish that I had read this before my wife had babies.
I'd like to interrupt you to make this bold declaration and say that if our book makes it to the bestseller list, I will record my own version of Lemonade because I am in the process of getting a divorce and I feel that it is the next logical artistic move for me. Mm-hmm. So I'd just like to make that claim here tonight.
When you purchase this book, know that you are funding our creative freedom to make any choice going forward.
If you will co-sign here, we will be free to be me and me. Hashtag tit snake.
And now it's time for Listeners Wanna Knows. We got an email this week from Ivan or Yvonne, from Germany, based on the country code of this phone number, which I won't say out loud. But here we go. I Googled it. I didn't memorize country codes. Hey, Beth, Peter, and family. How are you all? My son was born 5 months ago yesterday. As a fairly big boy, 9 pounds and 1 foot 9 inches. Since then, his growth spurt has been kind of insane. He's now 17 pounds and 2 feet 5 inches. He is all proportional, but just has a very healthy appetite. I've been going to the gym and training a lot more just to be able to carry him, as he is now just entering that phase where he likes being on people's arms. He is not the most fond of seating being restrained. He is still quite young. But my back is constantly killing me, and I feel he is getting heavier faster and I'm getting stronger. I tried those baby-wearing approaches, but it's just not cutting it. Any suggestions? I'm afraid the problem will keep growing long before he can just walk on his own. And for a hypothetical, I did the math. And if he keeps his growth to the same rate, by the time he's 18... he will be 42 feet tall, 7 inches. Let's say you are going through this with your quote-unquote little ones. How would you do this?
I hear a lot of fear.
If you had your own little Kong. Thanks for a great podcast and for shining light on what lies ahead. All the best. Lots of love. Yvonne. Ivan.
Okay. So I assume she's not genuinely worried that this kid is going to be enormous. Wait, I thought I heard someone.
Oh, is there a child waking up?
A huge child. No.
There's a huge child coming into the living.
I think it was just a ghost. I assume she doesn't actually think her child is going to grow up to be huge because, first of all, just to be clear, I feel like the size of a baby does not necessarily correspond to the size of the adult. But
I will say I do not know the gender of our writer, although Ivan I would assume male, but I don't know. Doesn't matter either way.
I hear a lot of fear in this email, and I feel like I just want to say, hey, babies just don't keep growing at the same rate forever.
Yeah, this is very much a front-loading thing that babies do. Oh, we've got a child awake.
I don't think that was the real concern. Oh, do we have a child that just woke up?
Yeah.
Well, I will say, boy, I don't know that there's any solution to kids keep getting big. I still have to carry Maven a whole bunch, and it's incredibly hard.
Yeah, I don't have a good
solution. I
still
pick her up and put her in the car. I don't need to. I need to stop that. But
I don't
Beth,
remember the
how do you
age.
Deal with this? Because I'm obviously incredibly strong. So
I can't remember what age she said this child was, but I feel like, or he said this child was, but they should maybe look into different like kinds of baby wearing options, like, or just do stroller.
I saw this thing once where you could wear it behind your head and then the baby could sit around your neck and lean back and not fall. And it was like a cheating way of having a kid on your shoulders.
Oh, it's like a little, like, Crazy Creek chair on your shoulders?
Kind of, yeah. I love Crazy Creek chairs.
Oh, my God. I haven't thought or talked about Crazy Creek chairs in a long time.
I will talk about some Crazy Creek chairs with you.
Guys, let's go to the woods. Let's get some Crazy Creek chairs and roast some marshmallows.
I need to tell you that there is a child sitting on the couch with us, and I think, do you want to say anything for the podcast tonight?
Okay, well, we need to wrap this up because we have to put a child back to sleep.
Okay, is this the child that loves snakes and wants to be a reptile veterinarian?
Is it that child? She nodded.
Okay, great. Rocket, I want to know, why do you love snakes so much? Because I think snakes are awesome. But I want to know why you think snakes are awesome.
I really like, if a king cobra has, like, something, like, sticking up from the sides of its head.
It's got, like, it's like it's wearing a hoodie.
It's just a little bit fancier, right?
Yeah.
Rocket really likes fancy.
It's the I think king cobra is definitely the fanciest snake around. Is there a fancier snake?
Nope.
Well, you heard it here, folks. That's going to do it. I think we have to wrap it up because there's nothing else to say once you've talked about the fanciest snake. This has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. I'd like to thank our very special guest, Jackie Ann Ruiz. And you guys have an incredible book launch party today, February 4th. Tell us again where that is, where people can see you.
Babes of Carytown in Richmond, Virginia.
Amazing. If you'd like to write in, send us some advice, ask us a question, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at weknowspod. And please rate, review the podcast. Buy the book wherever you buy books. Leave these wonderful women a positive review for that.
Ask your local library to get a copy of the book, please.
There's no manual. Honest and gory wisdom about having a baby. Is that what it's called?
That's right.
Great. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.